Let's all stand. We've got one verse, Leviticus 20, verse 26, from the Septuagint. And ye shall be holy to me, because I, the Lord your God, am holy, who separated you from all nations to be mine.
Good morning. The title of today's message is very long and complicated. This is called People. And the big word going around these days in Washington, D.C. is collusion. Did Trump collude with the Russians? Well, this morning I just want you to know that I did not collude with Randa in the selection of her song this morning. I was rather struck at the title, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And I'm not familiar with that song, but I noticed that it goes all the way back to 1551, so it's a rather old song. And I didn't detect any universalism in this song at all, so no doubt it was sung by our people with the intent of being for our people. Well, you know, one of the most clever ways of lumping every biped on the planet together, regardless of the ethnic group or geographical location, is to call everybody people, accompanied by human beings and the human race. And then they can get into more syrupy expressions like the brotherhood of man. They say we all bleed red. Well, so do dogs, snakes, and skunks. White Christian Americans are guilty of calling other bipeds people. It's easy to do with decades of cultural propaganda and the language saturation of change agents. No doubt there are those who would object and say, oh, what's wrong with that? The answer is lingual and biblical. At one time, the word people only meant white persons who are the true descendants of Adam, which is translated man, and has likewise been hijacked and diffused to imply every biped on the planet. The Bible has ostensibly become a book of confusion because we have lost the meaning of the word people. There are many more words that have been tortured and twisted, but people is number one. The greatest objections will predictably come from whatever religious form of universalism, which is to say, a small g God that includes and loves every biped on the planet, that has supplanted Christianity and become a mutation thereof. The Word of God, however, has always emphasized an exclusive love for only one people, the white race. So it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I hated. Romans 9:13. And it is so written in reference to Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3. Who did God give the Ten Commandments to? Well, tens of millions of people know that the Lord gave it to Charlton Heston. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know who God loved. He said in Amos 3:2, you only have I known or chosen or been intimate with all the families of the earth. The preceding verse, verse 1, qualifies who it is that God is intimate with. It was Israel. Both words, family and families, are the same Hebrew word mishpacha, number 4940, which have a definite racial import, according to Strong's, meaning a circle of relatives or species. All non-Israelites are neither people nor species nor a race, being that God created kind after kind and called it good. If they were good, then the Bible would not say that they, that is, the heathen, shall be as though they had not been. Obadiah 1:16. They will be as if they never existed. The Hebrew word for heathen is goy. You've probably heard that. Number 1471. And simply means nation. The context of Obadiah's prophecy regarding these goy or nations is in contradistinction to those who are going to have a hand in destroying them. That is, the Jacob Israelite people. The words goy and goyim, the plural, are yet another example of the Judaization of Scripture from ancient times, before the Romans occupied Palestine and meant someone who was not Jewish. This misnomer persists today with the unfortunate word Gentile, which is the Greek word ethnos, number 1484, and again merely means nation, not non-Jews. Ironically, the mongrel Jew uses both goy and ethnos as a pejorative against the racially pure people of God. Jews at the time of Christ may have been residents of Judea, but they were not racially in the circle of the tribe or family of Judah. They were known as the evil or bad figs of Judah, see Jeremiah 24, because they had race mixed, even though the traditions of the elders carried on an impersonation of being related to Abraham. When Esau married into the Canaanite seed lines, his progeny, the modern Jew, forfeited any claim of ever being the people of God. It fulfills both Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, that is, the blasphemy of those who say they are Judahites and are not, but the synagogue of Satan. Jews are no more people than monkeys. Today's scripture reading from Leviticus 20:26 is the same verse Pastor Elmore used last week from the King James, which was translated, "Have severed you from other people." But if people, according to Strong's, was a Hebrew word that meant Israelite, number 5971, which we'll get to shortly, then the Septuagint, the Hellenized Bible in Greek that Jesus used, had the Greek word for nations, which we've already mentioned is ethnos, and was rendered, "Who separated you from all nations." See the difference? How could we be severed from our own race? That wouldn't make any sense. Our people were severed from other non-Israelite nations, and that's where we should be today. But the universalism of Mystery Babylon has changed the Word of God into a lie. The adversaries of God want just the opposite of the divine plan, that is, a multicultural paradise that merges all racially pure with all racially impure, producing a world of mongrelization and thus destroying any racial integrity that God created in the beginning and called good. Why would the mongrel Jew do such a thing? It has to do with people control. Then, if anyone says to you, "Behold, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe him. For false Christ, messiahs in the form of Jews, and false prophets who are corrupt teachers, will arise and will show great signs and wonders. And one of those great signs and wonders is, how on earth can they brainwash the masses the way they do? It's amazing. So as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Matthew 24, 23 and 24. The elect are the people of God. We may have been scourged, punished, and purged, but the God of the Bible has never forsaken his people. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. This is repeated in Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Today, we are a nation race under distress because of so many bipeds who are under the illusion that they are people and deserve the same considerations as white people. Of course, this didn't happen overnight, but through a long train of legislative abuses, the biped has been legislated an undeserved status of so-called racial equality. This is not only absurd, but an affront to the faith of our fathers. How can any church have an Elijah ministry turning the heart of the fathers to the children if the kids are goats? We need to do a thorough word study to support our premise that people can only be the white race. It is so commonplace and pervasive that most people do not even give it a second thought when they speak of black people or Asian people. But within the Christian identity community, I am putting forth the imperative that to honor the God of Israel, we must start to speak biblically correct as much as political correctness has overwhelmed American society. If the truth is to make us free, we must speak the truth uninhibited by social constraints. In other words, if we are to talk about blacks, we address them as blacks, not black people. If we are to have a clarity of communications. Likewise, when we understand biblical terms, not the arbitrary terms of the apostate church, we will automatically know that a black man is an oxymoron. Blacks are not Adamic. It's so easy to go down the slippery slope of subliminal rhetoric, which changes the intent of English. This is a continual war of words that will never stop until the second coming of Christ. But we are overcomers, and we shall overcome the subterfuge of lingual obfuscation. It's our duty. There are over 50 Hebrew words which can be translated people. And I've got a footnote going to a link that lists all 50 Hebrew words, and it gives the definitions of each. The great majority refer to whom the Bible is directed upon. Genesis 5:1 specifies their identity exactly. This is the book of the generations of Adam. So if we don't seriously, rightly divide the word of truth, we can fall into the same pit that the word stranger has done, which can mean Israelite and non-Israelite. There are only a few Hebrew words rendered people that could be construed to suggest non-Israelite. To suggest that the majority of cases, the word translated as people implies non-Israelites, is at best intellectually dishonest and at worst subversion. What does the Bible say about Mexicans, Filipinos, Aborigines, Puerto Ricans, Zulus, Samoans, Vietnamese, ad nauseum? It just goes on and on. We can say, without hesitation, that the Bible says absolutely nothing about them other than categorically a heathen racial alien was never part of God's plan for the ages and are so worthless that they will eventually be destroyed. They were never given the law, as was Israel, and therefore had no need of redemption for transgressing the law. The only redeemed people were those who received the law. It's why we have a kinsman redeemer. When we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," it can only mean all the people to whom the law was given. Psalms 147, 19 and 20 says, "He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He," God, "hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they," meaning the non-Israelite, the non-white ethnic groups, "have not known them." If the Bible does not tell us anything specific about every lawless biped upon the earth, then how can any so-called Bible scholar presume that any of God's word applies to them the same way it applies to us without torturing Scripture? The universalist is hopelessly bankrupt spiritually and theologically, forcing a square peg into a round hole. The religions of racial inclusion, and there are thousands, are everything except Christianity. So why do they infect our faith with egalitarian theologies? It's because we are the only threat that burns down the groves of Baal or any other foreign alien idol. We are the only race with a generational priesthood found in Numbers 25:13, bestowed with the duty of dispatching the evils of miscegenation. If you look up the word "people" in Strong's Concordance, you will see page after page one predominant Hebrew word more than the other 49, and that is "am," A-M, number 5971, and is defined as a people, as a congregated unit, specifically a tribe, as those of Israel. Hence, collectively, troops or attendants, figuratively, a flock, folk, men, nation, people, end quote. Quote, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world," in other words, the prevailing social order, not the planet, "may become guilty before God." The context here is every Israelite in all Israelite societies. Wherever white people congregate will either confess Christ or will be condemned to shut up, especially if they are of the mindset that ritualism will give them a right relationship with God. Okay, let's do the math and apply a little common sense so that our premise doesn't sound that outrageous to the sheeple of the apostate church, if that's possible. And I pray that it's self-explanatory and obvious that people in the Bible are us. There are slightly over 5 pages in Strong's covering the word people. There are 3 columns per page, and each column has approximately 114 verse citations. Each page, therefore, has around 342 verses. 342 verses multiplied by 5 pages is 1,710 Bible verses. As we discovered earlier, the preponderance of these verses in the Old Testament use the Hebrew word am, number 5971, and always means those of Israel, whom are the descendants of Adam. We will touch on this Greek word in a moment, but can anybody who is honest deny the identity to whom pertaineth the people of God? For those who cannot muster enough honesty, let us proceed to prove, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that every book of the Old Testament identifies people as a race, which is not a bad word, any more than racism, expounding the virtues of God's creation of kind after kind. Purveyors of miscegenation, like Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis, will flippantly and without biblical authority change the truth of God into a lie and give religious significance to vicarious bipeds under the invented phraseology of people groups. Really? As we'll find out, such an expression is anti-biblical and anti-Christ. But it sure does justify all the miscegenation going on over Ken Ham's headquarters. Except no substitutes for the theology of a covenant people. The very first mention of the word people in the Bible is found in Genesis 11:6. Quote, "And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." End quote. There are some who have tried to pervert this passage and infer that the one people were a type of United Nations of all the bipeds of the earth. And I thought that at one time. But the narrative is about the Tower of Babel and the eventual distribution of the Adamic race being separated because all scattering and gathering rests solely upon the God of our race. That is, quote, "So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city." Genesis 11:8. This is the same race of people whose imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. This is the same race of people who would later build a golden calf. This is the same race of people who were described in the preceding chapter, Genesis 10:32, as, quote, "These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood." Then comes the universalist spin in Genesis 12:3, whereby, "And in thee shall all the families of the earth will be blessed." All the bipeds of the earth? No, not if the one people in Genesis 11:6 are the same race of people who are the families of the sons of Noah. I implore the knee-jerkers to accept no substitute, as there are none. This is the Bible of the generations of Adam. These mongrels and animals of the earth are not people, but the same race of people created by God mistakenly think they're just like us. Nothing could cause the people of God more grief than that. In the book of Exodus, every single mention of the word people is 5971, am, and is also the first mention of God being the great I am. God said to Moses, "I am who I am," and he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." The Lord is the great I am, not the great I will be. We cannot say I am. We can only say I am a man, or an Israelite, or a peculiar people. Only God can say, I am, without saying anything more, because he is the self-existent one. God alone is. We become, but God is. We all become something, from cradle to grave, for better or worse, but God never changes. The Word made flesh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not far off from his people. He spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people saying, I am has sent me unto you. Unto who? Who was Moses sent to? To the people of the children of Israel in Egypt. God was telling us much more than who he was, but what he was. He was not an inactive, abstract existence, but rather an active manifestation of existence. Throughout history, he makes himself anew to his people. As a Christian, I want God to explain himself to me so that I can understand him. Not sterile translations of man that tell me nothing, but a so-called sacred name. When Jesus said unto them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am." John 8:58. He was confirming his deity from Exodus 3:14. And the eternal election of Adam kind to everlasting life from the everlasting God. And thus his being confirmed as the same nature as eternity. I don't know if there's any etymological connection to the Hebrew word am and I am, but we can ascertain that only one race of people have been chosen by God for eternal life. Which begs the question, why would God care so much about a bunch of sinners and help mankind every step of the way working wonders and miracles? The simple answer is that he loves us because we are the only people on earth that he created. His mercy endureth forever for us and us alone. As a father yearns for the correction of his children. In the book of Leviticus, in 26 verses 11 through 13, the word people can only be exclusively applied. Quote, "Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God. And you shall be my people, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their slaves. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright." End quote. In early America, once again, the yoke of an oppressor was broken, and white Christian America was free to worship God, the God of Israel, through the study and application of the Word. Also in Leviticus, we read the inscription on the Liberty Bell, to wit, "Proclaim liberty throughout the land, throughout all the land and all the inhabitants thereof." The context of verse 10 is within the parameters of declaring a jubilee, which was exclusively meant for Israelite societies. God guided this great nation as the potter molds the clay. The hands that wrote our founding documents probably had as much realization of future ramifications as the writers of the Bible, who were led by the hand of God. Nevertheless, we can discern a Christian identity spirit in the preamble, which every white Christian American knows the first three words by heart. We, the people. Whether its author, Morris, understood the full extent of what he wrote, God did, and essentially said, "We are the Am," that is, God's Israelite people. In the book of Adam's generations, God is no respecter of persons. And the divine law said, "Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great." The interpretation of the preamble has evolved radically, not in the hands of God, but in the hands of Antichrist Jews. At first, the preamble was set in place to assure that the elite class in government would not overtake the common man. They clearly rejected an aristocracy and titles of nobility. In the 18th century, the common man was considered land-owning white men. English common law derives from Mosaic law and pertained only to Anglo-Saxons. After all, "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called," and Saxon is the conjunction of Isaac's sons, Saxons. In 1776, the seven times punishment expired, and we the people had a reprieve to make America the greatest Christian nation in history. But an enemy slithered in and planted evil seed among the good seed. We became entangled with strangers and their strange gods. The saucepan slowly simmered until it was safe to boil. Can you feel the heat? Today, the poison of universalism includes all alien mongrels who are not even U.S. citizens to participate in government functions in violation of God's law. In Deuteronomy 17:15, and I like how the NIV puts it, it says, "Be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your fellow Israelites. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not an Israelite." End quote. We should not wonder why America is a dysfunctional empire, as we, the people, no longer exist. The people of God Almighty are still around, but blindness in part has happened to Israel. Romans 11:25. The other part that isn't blind is Christian identity and sees quite clearly the plight of our people. There is sin in the camp because the alien dwells in our land in violation of Exodus 23:33. Quote, "They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." End quote. Do you know why God gets angry with us? In Numbers 25, we read, "While the Israelites were camped at Acacia Grove, the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. In this way, Israel joined in the worship of Baal Peor, causing the Lord's anger to blaze against his people." The friendship of the wicked is more dangerous than their hostility, without a shot being fired. Although both engage us in their art of war, our worst enemy is the one who draws us into sin. Our people are blind because they have called evil good and good evil. This is the chapter about Phineas, in which he ran a javelin through the belly of race mixers. Even though he stayed the plague of God's wrath, 24,000 people died because they ignored the sin. This fact of history just does not seem to register in the minds of our people today. And our people are dropping like flies with the blessings of religious tolerance. We have to develop a racial consciousness to discern when the Bible is talking about non-Israelites. Quote, "Dear friends, stop believing every spirit. Instead, test the spirits to see whether they are from God." 1 John 4:1. Spirit, in this case, is number 4151, pneuma, and is the mental disposition of people. It's saying, don't believe every person, test their motivations. Quote, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that does good is of God. But he that does evil has not seen God." Seeing God is not being blind to your racial identity and seeing the truth. Saying that racism is sin is evil. It is the mongrelized mind that cannot see the way, the truth, and the life. If racism is a sin, then show me the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Our people are in a moral cesspool today because they fear the looks of man more than fearing God, who tells us to hate evil. The modern evangelist loves to play fast and loose with superficial interpretations, words given new and deceptive meanings, and usually out of context in order to be conducive to universalism. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, is known as the law of blessings and curses. It's certainly a challenge to discern who the people are. But if we test the people spoken of, we simply ask if they are good or evil. Let's do it, starting with verse 10. But first we should ask another question, which is just as important. Does the word all usually mean all of everything, or all of that part being spoken of only? Does all the world mean every biped on the planet? Honest Bible scholars will admit that it is confined to context. Therefore, verse 10 should be read with that in mind. Quote, "And all people of the earth," sounds like our song this morning, "and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee." Does this verse mean the entire planet and every biped? I think non-whites are too stupid to know their place among white people, especially today. It's not that bipeds would be fearful of us, being that they are naturally pusillanimous. Arnold Kennedy, in his excellent paper on all, every, and whosoever, says, quote, "Here, all the people of the earth does not include Israel," end quote. And he gives his reasons as to why, being the word all. However, we should not stop there. We must give equal treatment to the words people and earth, which the former has already been defined by 5971, those of Israel. The Hebrew word for earth, which is key to understanding that the flood of Noah was not worldwide, is number 776, Eretz, and can mean simply a land. Thus, verse 10 is saying those Israelites of the land, who obviously did not heed their calling and would be preoccupied with golden calves and whatnot, and would come to realize that God-fearing people would be something to be in awe of. It would be like all the race mixers today that had an epiphany that Christian identity was right all along and that they were facing the curses of universalism. We have responded to God's divine calling by accepting our biblical identity and responsibilities. I have no regret or apology to implore my people to get racist. It is time. It is God's will. Deuteronomy 28 is addressed to God's people. And the first 14 verses are about blessings. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep his commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Holy people suggest racially pure Israelites, not holier than thou universalist. Verses 15 through 68 are the curses, and it's self-explanatory that our people would fall short of the glory more times than not. Verse 32 again challenges us to discern what exactly the curse is. Quote, your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually, but there will be nothing you can do." End quote. Would another people be non-white Ams? Not unless we wish to grant them an elevated status of people. So who are they? Look around. There are mongrels, and then there are those who are mongrelly minded, who have zero racial consciousness. Virtually another people, who are so blind to their identity, such race traitors, and vitriolic against anyone who would dare to use the phrase white Christian Americans, that there will be nothing we can do for them. I think that curse coming from our own kind would be worse than coming from natural-born savages whom God never called good. Our history is such that we didn't necessarily have to have strangers in our midst in order to forsake the God of Israel. However, to whom much is given, much is required, and we are charged with spreading the good news. We plant the seed and set the example. We love God, clean house, and help others. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when people get the shock of their life. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Those who begin to see the relevance of race in the Bible will have an increase in knowledge and be blessed. But those who go down the drain of universalism can only be cursed with outer darkness. Quote, "Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." The corruption is found in the soul of the white race whoring after strange gods that parade down Main Street America thinking there are black people, brown people, red people, yellow people. We are sick people for thinking such things and for not being well grounded in the things of God. They say history repeats itself. And in Hosea, Israel actually lost her appellation of people. It was that bad. "Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." Hosea 1:9. How could anybody be so cavalier about rejecting the racial message of God and forfeiting themselves as people? And if they are not people, then what are they? They are the lost sheep of the house of Israel, for whom Christ came. And they are accounted as sheep for the slaughter by those Jews who killed Christ. The Lord's blood was upon them 2,000 years ago, and it's upon their children today. One last verse from Deuteronomy 28:64. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known, end quote. This is not talking about Jews, being that Jews are not true Israel. When God scatters his people, he moves them to other nations. The white race from ancient times has experienced captivities and migrations for their national sins. In this final age, the church age, running concurrently with the final prophetic beast empire, Mystery Babylon, it is easy to see the false gods attached to multicultural societies that Israel finds herself in. The patriarchs of Israel never saw the wood and stone opulence of the Roman Catholic Church, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, the waters which thou saw where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Revelation 17, 1 and 15. It's deja vu all over again. Or shall we say the Tower of Babel, whereby the 12 tribes of Israel are a multitude of nations and are still confounded by language and still vexed by racial aliens dwelling in their land. I'm as guilty as the next man for falling prey to the words of devils who falsely accuse or attribute a biblical designation to those who do not qualify to be called people. They were certainly never a consideration in the preamble to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. God offered Abraham a posterity like the stars of heaven, a proliferation of a specific race. It takes discipline to stop calling non-whites people. That's what the disciples of Christ did in the first century. They had a great commission to reach the people of God. They never went to proselytize every biped upon the face of the earth. They went to their own people. And I'll share more thoughts on this subject next time. Thank you.